morning, all.
Good morning.
We do welcome everyone this morning, particularly visiting with us. It's fantastic to have you with us this morning. As I said, because David's off, we'll have a number of different speakers with us each week. It's great that Ray's going to bring God's Word to us this morning from Matthew chapter 8, and then Mal will be bringing God's Word this evening from Deuteronomy. A number of people have asked, will there be a series? Will we be able to follow through as David normally does? Yes and no. As different people speak, then there will be a series. So if Ray's speaking, then he may continue a series. If James is speaking, then he may continue his series. Mal will preach mostly on Deuteronomy. So for those of you that like a bit of a series, you will get a bit of a series, but not necessarily week on week. So there's an encouragement just to turn up and try and remember what happened 3 weeks ago. This week our services at the usual time, prayer meeting 7:30 on Wednesday. The drop-in that we've been running over July and August is now finished, but we do want to say a very big thank you to Ray and to Kathleen for everything that they did there. There was a number of people that came in over the course of that period, and we'll now have a time of reflection over how that worked and what we can do for the future to have something with a little bit more ongoing. So look out for that in the next few weeks. Next Sunday service is at usual time of 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Athol Rennie will be with us in the morning, when we'll also celebrate communion, and James Burnett will be preaching in the evening. A couple of dates for the diary are the only other thing I want to call out, and they're on the back of the notice sheet if you have one. One is for September, and the 6th of September, at the table at the back, you'll see some of these little invitation cards. On the 6th of September, we plan to have a film night where you can invite somebody to come along. The film is called The Case for Christ. It's a film about a journalist, Lee Stobel, who his wife became a Christian, and he then set out using his journalism skills to prove to her that there wasn't a God. He thought it would sort his marriage if he was able to do that and prove that she was on the wrong track and following Christianity. Am I going to spoil the ending for you? Yes, why not? Because you're invite somebody else, you know, it's not for yourself. Fantastic, you know, he couldn't prove that God didn't exist. He couldn't prove that Christianity is real and became a Christian himself at the end of it. So it's a mainstream movie. It was produced in 2017. It's got a couple of famous people in it, Faye Dunaway, Roger Forrester, I think, and a few other people. So it is a film that you can invite people to. So take some cards at the back. Very much we view this as an invitation. You know, we may put some of these cards through the doors, but what we were thinking was that, you know, you'd be able to invite friends, family, neighbours, and things like that. Just give them a card and say, you know, we'd like to invite you to a movie. The Sunday after that, the 8th of September, we plan to have, again, an invitation service on Sunday morning. Will Lind will be with us from Grace Church, Leith. So it will be perhaps a slightly more informal service, but one that, again, you can invite friends and family to on that Sunday morning. And the last thing in the diary is just a weekend away, which is planned for the last weekend in October. So just so you can get that date in your diary, it's the 25th to the 27th. We'll be going up to Fascally House once again in Pitlochry. It's a tremendous time that we have. Over the years, the weather has always been kind to us. We've all been able to go out and for nice walks, to share fellowship together, to share foods, to play some games together, just to get to know each other a little better and to get to know God a little bit better. So if you want to find out more, speak to myself, speak to Ray over the next couple of weeks, and more information will follow. Ray, hands over to you.
Thank you, Tim. As a call to worship, let us read from God's Word, reading from Psalm 30, verses 1 through 4. This is what the Word of the Lord says. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks to his holy name. let us do that as we stand to worship God, as we sing Psalm 9, verses 1 through 8 from Sing Psalms. I praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Let's stand after the introduction and worship God. Before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we gather here to worship and to magnify your name this morning. That your throne endures forever. That your justice stands for all eternity. That you, Father, are a loving and yet a just God. Shall not the God of all justice do that which is right and good? We thank you that in our nation you are sovereign, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what this news has brought this week. You are on the throne. You cannot and will not be thwarted. Your plans to save a people, to draw a nation to yourself, a nation of believers, a nation under one God, under one new heaven and new earth, a nation who love you, who serve you. Father, we pray that your Son, Jesus Christ, would draw these dear ones to you. Those who are lost, who are running headlong down a broad road that leads to destruction. We thank you that Jesus chose, before the beginning of time, to come down from all his glory and majesty, to condescend to be among mankind, to leave everything in glory and to come down among us, that he may save wretched sinners such as we are. And so, Father, we thank you that the way back to heaven has been opened. The way back to a relationship with you, Heavenly Father, comes through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made the way open and possible for all who will put their faith in him. And so we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Shed on the cross for all. For all who will put their faith, their trust, and their hope in Jesus Christ alone. And so we thank you. We come before you to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Praying.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is kingdom, the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Well, boys and girls, you'll know that recently we had a Highland Games, a Highland Gathering at the end of the Holiday Club. Does anybody remember my hat? Do you remember this? I took it off and obviously my hair stuck to the hat, hence the reason I'm a wee bit short haired this morning. But you'll remember it was a lovely big gathering with lots and lots and lots of people. Do you remember all the mums and dads and all the other folks that came along? Well, in the Bible, in the scripts I'm going to look at this morning, we're going to see masses and masses of people. In fact, there were so many people, they were called a great multitude. I suppose it'd be a wee bit like our Highland Gathering, multiplied many, many, many times. And in this gathering, there was one wee man who should never have been there. He should have never been there because the very fact that he was there meant that he could contaminate everybody else. He could destroy everybody else's life by his very presence because he was an outcast in society. He was a person that had been rejected by everyone. And do you know why? Because he was a leper. He had a disease that if you caught it back in the first century, there was no cure. That was you. You were toast. If you got leprosy, they couldn't heal you. They didn't have doctors that they have like the NHS. And so you were really, really in trouble. And so the last person in the whole world who should have been at this big, amazing meeting of thousands and thousands of people was this leper. He shouldn't have been there. And yet, there he was. And he came to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, he said, Lord, if it please you, if you will, you can heal me of this leprosy. Isn't that amazing? And guess what Jesus said? Go and boil your head. Is that what he said? No, I don't think he did say that. Did he say, go and get lost, you shouldn't be here, you're a leper. You might contaminate everybody, make them unclean and they can't worship God then. Is that what Jesus, he didn't say that? No. Jesus received him and Jesus responded to him with compassion and with love and with mercy. And then Jesus restored him to absolutely full health. And so when we look at the cross, this is what Jesus does. You see this? This is called the vertical. And when Jesus heals and restores us, when we come to him the way the leper came to him, in faith, then Jesus restores vertical relationships between man and between God. And not only does Jesus restore vertical relationships, but this wee leper, if he had obeyed Jesus and done what Jesus said, he could have gone off, he could have got a certificate from the priests, and he could have been restored to the people, so they would have had horizontal relationships this way, fixed as well. So God doesn't only just heal relationships between himself and man, but he also restores relationship between people who were not part of God's people and makes them into part of God's family. And so when we look at the cross, we see that God makes relationships right this way and this way. Come on, we'll give thanks to God. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can help us get right with you through faith in Jesus. And we thank you that faith in Jesus also restores us to become part of the family of God. Help us to know you and to love you and to come to you the way the leper came to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Will you join me as we continue our worship, as we stand to praise God, as we sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. This morning comes from the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, and you'll find the reading in chapter 8, and page 813 in the Church Bibles, page 813 in the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 8, reading the vast text of verses 1 through 4. This is what the word of the Lord says. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. This is the word of the Lord, and may God add his rich blessing to this reading of his word. I'm going to receive our offerings for the work of the gospel. And as we do, remain seated as we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." Before God, and let's pray. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you surrendering everything that we are. We give you our all, our service, our obedience, our love, our very being, our lives, our finances, everything belongs to you. Because you, in your love, in your grace, in your kindness, you have given it all to us in the first place. You have given us life and breath and health and wealth and everything. Every good and perfect gift that has come down from God above. and we acknowledge it comes from you. And so we surrender our lives to you, that it may please you to take us, to make us and to mould us and to use us as your instruments of blessing in this day, in this nation, to your world. Father, we thank you that you choose to use instruments such as we are. We thank you that you don't leave us as we are, but you take us and transform us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who have been a wonderful example of surrender to us. We think of Jim and Megan Patterson and the missionary work they've been involved in over the years in Benin. We pray for these dear ones and for their daughter Ruth, asking that, Father God, you would bless and encourage these dear saints who have been a blessed example to us of what it is to surrender all to Christ. We think of Elizabeth Patterson, who was forced out of Pakistan. We pray that as a doctor, Lord, you would use her in this nation. We think of the Christian hospital in Bac, there in Pakistan. We pray that you would encourage the saints there, that you would find another blessed replacement for Elizabeth. That, Lord, your plans and purposes for that nation through that wonderful work in Bac Hospital may not be thwarted, but that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in Pakistan. We pray for all the saints there who are under persecution, asking that you would richly bless, strengthen, protect and encourage them. We think of Adam in Central Asia, that wonderful example of submission, of surrender to Christ, as he goes through some of the most difficult countries for Christians to go to, as he encourages the saints and as he builds up the church. Lord, would you bless him? Would you provide for him? Would you encourage and strengthen him? We give you thanks for his witness, for his example, and for his faithfulness. We ask that you would raise up men and women in our midst who would go forth, who would surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, and who would go into all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching everyone to obey that which you have taught us, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. That's why we ask these things. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Before we come to God's word, let us stand again and sing to God's glory. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. He who left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. Let's stand after the introduction and worship God together.
Me left his home.
As Tim alluded to earlier, in David's absence over the next few months, we'll have the privilege of a variety of preachers bringing God's word to us. As I take my turn in the pulpit, I'm proposing to preach through the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. So that's where we'll find ourselves when I'm standing here. So this morning, we parachute into Matthew chapter 8 and the first four verses. Well, the main thrust of what Matthew is communicating is that Jesus has divine power to heal and to restore broken human beings. And it's this very power to restore broken human beings that demonstrates that Jesus is sent from God and that Jesus is the Saviour of mankind. And that's the point God wants us to grasp this morning. Jesus was unlike any other man in the history of the world because only he had the very authority of God himself. And that's because Jesus is God come down among us in the flesh. And that's what Matthew wants to convey to his readers. You see, only God could do what Jesus did. And that's why Jesus is able to say in John chapter 10 and verse 3, he says, I and the Father am one. And so as we go through four verses together this morning, notice with me, if you will, the power and the manner with which Jesus receives, responds to, and restores the leper. In verse 1, the way in which Jesus receives the leper. And no wonder in verse 1 the crowd are following Jesus as he comes down from the Sermon on the Mount. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, they had never heard anything like it before. They had never met anyone like Jesus before. Especially as the last chapter tells us. If you look at chapter 7 in the last two verses, verses 28 and 29, where we read, when Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, in effect, Jesus has told the Jews that their thinking's all wrong, that their lives are all wrong and their attitudes are all wrong. They don't understand God, they don't understand the scriptures, and they don't understand how to live lives that please God. Jesus has just turned everything the Jews believed upside down. And so this Jesus is no ordinary man. Note the plural crowds. There were masses of people there. There were more people there than you can shake a jaggy stick at. As Matthew describes those following Jesus as great crowds, or as a great multitude of people. And the one person who isn't allowed within a mile of other human beings for fear that they might contaminate others with their disease is a leper. And so the last person you'd ever expect to find among the great multitude of people is a leper. Yet here he is, bowing down before Jesus. How the leper came to be before Jesus, we don't know. How he got through the crowd without being stoned to death, Scripture doesn't say. But here he is. Clearly, this man was determined to let nothing come between him and the only one who had power to cleanse, to heal, and to restore human beings. Here, this wee leper has sought out Jesus, and he's found him. Friends, have you ever noticed in Scripture that all those who earnestly seek God find him? God, in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, never turns anyone away who genuinely seeks him from the bottom of their heart. Just as we see here in verse 2 with the leper, as Jesus receives him. As a devout Jew, you might have thought that Jesus would have been indignant with the leper, because anyone who came into contact with him would be automatically, ceremonially and ritually unclean. This leper, in his selfish desire to get his own needs met by Jesus, is by his very presence making multitudes of Jewish people unfit to worship God. It would have been understandable if Jesus had been angry at this man's selfishness, because he's separating everyone who even brushes against him from God, because they become unfit and unclean for worship. And yet here's this leper prostrating himself before Jesus, an act which is in itself public worship of Jesus as God. Not only in his actions as the leper treating Jesus as God, but also in his words when he says in verse 2, "Lord, if you will, if it please you, you can make me clean." Friends, who can do the impossible but God alone? It's not possible for any man to heal a leper or to make him clean. It's just not possible, it's impossible. And yet, in Jesus, the leper sees with the eyes of faith the impossible made possible as Jesus receives him. Secondly, here, look at how Jesus not only receives but now responds to those who come to him on their knees, seeking his help and looking for cleansing and healing. In verse 3, he doesn't shun them or turn them away. Jesus doesn't rebuke the leper or give him a rollicking for barging in front of him. No. Rather, with an open, outstretched hand, Jesus responds with compassion, with mercy, with love. And dear ones, that's how Jesus has always and will always receive and respond to everyone who will humbly come before him, seeking his help and looking for cleansing and healing. In Jesus, the leper's faith, hope and trust is well founded. It's well placed. We can see that in Jesus Christ, the leper's faith has found its perfect home. For who else but Jesus? God among us. Who else but he could do the impossible? And so Jesus responds to the leper with compassion. In stark contrast to everyone else, the mere sight of him approaching would no doubt send people running for their lives. You can just imagine people scrabbling about in the dust for a stone or a stick to fend him off and to keep him at a distance. But in the first century Near East, if you contracted leprosy, it was the equivalent of a death sentence. There was no cure, no welfare state, no NHS to help you. In effect, you became like the walking dead. What a lonely, miserable existence. Can you imagine what it must have been like not to be able to be with those you love for fear that you would infect them with the infection that had afflicted and destroyed your own life? Yet in Jesus, the leper found a friend who welcomed him. Instead of shrinking back in horror at the man's hideous appearance, Jesus' response is one of compassion. He reaches out in love to the man and he touches him. Jesus meets this wretched soul in the midst of his need. And Jesus sets him free from the things that bind and oppress him in this world. Jesus reaches out to the one who society rejects. And with one touch of his hand and with one word of his mouth, he miraculously transforms his broken body and his broken life. Friends, this is the wonderful Saviour we love and follow. That's who Jesus is. The God of love who receives rejected, hurt, and broken people today. First, the leper pleads with Jesus for help in verse 2 when he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus receives it. Second, Jesus responds with compassion in verse 3 where we read, "Then Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean." And thirdly here, immediately his leprosy was cleansed and he was restored. Friends, it's only an encounter with Jesus Christ that can totally transform and fully restore human beings. That's the power of God that we see at work in Jesus here in our text. Jesus doesn't go off and seek power from on high in prayer or being set apart. No. Jesus has the power of God in himself because he is God. In Jesus, the leper recognized something more than just a mere man. He sees Jesus' divine nature, his divinity, and it's on display for everyone to see. No more festering sores or the horrible stench that comes from them. Rather, full, complete healing and restoration of the leper's physical body is what Jesus has the power to do by his own will. Who else can cleanse the unclean and wash them in a crimson flow that makes their scarlet sins as white as snow? Friends, only Jesus can cleanse and heal the most hideous, festering sores like those of the leper. Only Jesus can heal the deep, deep wounds of hurt and rejection which ill health and the world and society would have inevitably inflicted upon this poor, wretched soul. This poor man was denied the simple pleasures in life. Simple pleasures which we all too often take for granted. Simple pleasures like the joy of human contact, like chatting with friends and family over a cuppa or a meal, or the joy of being greeted with a hug or a shake of the hand. You see, as a leper, this man was denied the joy of human touch. He knew nothing of tactile human affection. He knew only rejection. He knew what it was to be an outcast. He was literally a social leper. But friends, when he came to Jesus, all this changed. Because he was received, responded to with mercy and compassion, and he was completely restored to physical health. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Which brings us finally here to verse 4. Jesus desires to restore the leper not only to full health, but he also wants to restore the leper to his people and to his God. But there's a condition to restoration with God, as we're about to see. You see, this man could never worship in the temple in Jerusalem or in any synagogue, because according to the 13th chapter of the Levitical law, lepers are ritually unclean, and therefore they can't come in to a place of worship. And so because of his leprosy, this man has been separated not only from God, but from God's people. In our final verse this morning, this man is given two stern commands by Jesus. Look with me to verse 4, where Jesus says to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a proof to them." Why Jesus instructed the leper to say nothing to anyone about the miracle Jesus had performed is a question theologians have been trying to answer for two millennia. There's numerous hypotheses been put forward by scholars as to why Jesus told the leper not to speak about what Jesus had done for him until he went to Jerusalem and showed himself to the priests. But friends, our text doesn't tell us why Jesus gave the first command. And so I'm not going to add to the speculation that already exists. Just to say that God has recorded this text for a purpose. And so we have to ask ourselves why. What is the purpose of God and the writer of the Gospel of Matthew? What is the purpose of this text? Well, as we'll see in the verses that fall outside the scope of our text this morning, this man disobeyed Jesus' first command. He didn't keep stum. He didn't keep quiet. It's clear he went about shouting from the rooftops about what Jesus had done. Who could blame him after what Jesus had done for him? If we've been honest with ourselves, we would have probably done the same thing if we'd been in his shoes. So what are we to learn from this? Well, the scripture's full of examples of people who have life-changing encounters with God, but yet they still fail to obey God. They don't listen to his commands. Yes, scripture reveals man's disobedience to God, but it never condones it. It never justifies it, unlike ourselves. And scripture never says it's okay to sin against God. And so we do well, friends, to take heed of scripture and to learn not to make the mistakes that we see others in scripture making when they fail to obey God. And so the leper's disobedience to Jesus' first command caused Jesus some difficulty. As you'll know in other Gospels, it tells us that Jesus could no longer go into towns because he became so mobbed because of the word of the leper. But what about the second command Jesus gave the leper? To go to the temple in Jerusalem and to make the appropriate sacrifice Moses commanded to show that he was ceremonially clean and to take his rightful place among God's people. Well, scripture doesn't tell us if the leper actually obeyed Jesus' second command. He certainly didn't obey the first, and so it's reasonable to question whether he actually obeyed Jesus' second command. But here's the thing. Even if the leper did go to Jerusalem and show himself to the priests, in the hope that he would be proved to have been cleansed and restored to full health. There's still no guarantee that he would have been granted permission by the priest to return to public worship. And do you know why? Because if the priests had overheard the news that Jesus had healed this leper, they wouldn't have been keen to authenticate the cleansing. Because it would have proved beyond any doubt whatsoever that Jesus was the Messiah. No one else can heal leprosy but God alone. And so the priests are not going to be keen to authenticate the healing. And so it's very possible that the leper was fully restored to physical health in this life, only to remain estranged from God and his people, both in this life and the life to come, simply because he refused to obey Jesus' command, which would have allowed the leper to be ceremonially cleansed and restored to God on God's terms. And so, in closing, what are we to take home from our text this morning? Well, it's very simple. Everyone who will come to Jesus, just as a leper did in faith, everyone who will humbly acknowledge that you're in deep need, desperate need of cleansing, healing and restoration, everyone who does that, you will find that Jesus is faithful and just to receive you and to respond to you with compassion, with mercy, and with love. And that Jesus will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all your iniquities. That he will restore you to a right relationship with God. If only you will humbly come as the leper came, so that you too might take your rightful place among God's restored people. May God grant that this be so for each of us. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus comes and receives social outcasts. Thank you that he loves the dirty, smelly, inconvenient people that the world and society reject. Thank you that every single person who comes to Jesus as a leper came to him in humility, acknowledging our need for cleansing and God's help. We thank you that Jesus responds with grace and mercy and forgiveness, and restores us to life in all its fullness here and forevermore. And so we thank you, Father God, for your wonderful Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We conclude our time of worship together as we sing to God's glory Psalm 18 from Sing Psalms, singing from verses 1 through 6. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. A fortress is the Lord to me. Let's stand after the introduction and sing to God's glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with and remain upon us now and forevermore. Amen.